Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here again today. It's good to have another opportunity to worship the Lord and to study His Word. And I'm so glad to see all of you here, and I'm just so glad for this opportunity. Before I begin, I'd like to pray. Father in heaven, we come before Thee with thankful hearts, thanking You that we are able to gather here today to study Thy Word. We ask that Thou wouldest be here today with us, that Thou wouldest give us ears to hear and hearts that would perceive and understand what You would have us to know about Thee and Thy kingdom and Thy will. We ask that Thou wouldest preside over these services and bless each one. And we ask this in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. All right, well, to begin with, I would like to ask you all to please open to Hebrews chapter 13 for a short portion of Scripture. I'm going to call this message today, "The Lord is My Helper." In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 tells us, "Let brotherly love continue." Oh, I like that already. That's good. We definitely need that. "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." You know, that's a very good reason to be kind and polite to strangers. You never quite know for sure who you're talking to. It could be an angel. And we can definitely take comfort in the fact that there are twice as many angels as there are demons out there. And it's a biblical doctrine that each one of us have been assigned an angel by God to look out for us and to protect us. That is a biblical doctrine. You know, it wasn't long ago, I was driving downtown with Leah, and we were at the intersection of Front Street and Spring Street, and I had a green light, so I was about to start. I was about to enter the intersection, and all of a sudden, I noticed there was a car. I noticed right at the last second, there was a car just speeding through that intersection. Ran a red light going about 50 miles an hour, and you know, I truly believe that the Lord was there with us, helping us, because if I hadn't seen that at just the last second, I don't think I'd be standing here today. Praise the Lord. So there are angels out there, and they watch over us on assignment from God, and that's a comforting thing to know. Verse 3, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." There are many Christians these days who are in bonds, not so much in this country per se, but in other parts of the world. There are many who are imprisoned for their faith and are prevented from freely practicing their Christian beliefs. But even in this country, things are degrading rapidly on that front. So, you know, in the future, we may be in bonds too. And we need to always be mindful of our fellow Christians out there and remember them and pray for them. Verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Praise the Lord. You know, as human beings, we're all pretty insignificant. We're little specks in this wondrous universe that God has created. But yet, despite that, He loves us so much that He's willing to reach down from heaven and help us. It says here, the Lord is my helper. It's a wonderful thing to know that we can rely on God for all of our needs. Today, what I'd like to do is study some examples of how God has helped His people through the ages. If you'll look to 2 Kings chapter 4, I'd like to go there next. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." So obviously that's a horrible situation to be in. They used to do that. If you had a debt you couldn't pay, they would come and they'd take your children, and your children would become slaves. That doesn't usually happen these days, at least not in this country, but again, that could change also the way things are going. But we can trust God, and He will help us. It tells us in verse 2, "And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." Now that's poor. That's really poor. A lot of times we'll be at home and we'll go and look in the refrigerator and we'll think to ourselves, there's nothing to eat. Well, all this woman had was a pot of oil. We have a lot more than we realize, that's for sure. Verse 3, "Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." So what he's telling her is, go borrow a lot of vessels, not a few. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, "Bring me yet a vessel." And he said unto her, "There is not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. So if you can imagine this, they've gathered up all these jugs and jars and vessels or whatever they had, and she just kept pouring that oil out. Just pouring it out. And it every time there was oil, and they filled every container, and it was a miracle. God was helping her. Praise the Lord. Verse 7, "Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest." Praise the Lord. There was so much oil that not only was there enough to pay the debt, there was enough for her to live on with her family. Amen. God does provide for His people. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is a very inspiring story, you know. Oftentimes, these days, with the economy being the way it is and so many people struggling financially, you sometimes wonder, how are we going to provide for the family, you know? How are we going to come up with enough money to pay all the bills? But God can make a way. No matter what your circumstances are, God can make a way. And he helped this widow. And he helped her children. And because of that, her children wouldn't have to become slaves. What a wonderful thing. Continuing on in the chapter, verse 8, it tells us, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither." So God moved upon this woman. She just wanted to help Elisha, who was a prophet of God. And she said, well, let's talk to her husband. Said, let's make him a room. He can come here and stay when he's passing by. That's a very wonderful and kind thing to do. Praise the Lord. Verse 11. "And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. So Elisha was so impressed with this woman and her kindness that he wanted to do something nice for her, and he wanted to know what she wanted, and she had never had a child. And her husband was an old man, so, God was going to work a miracle here too, and she was going to have a child. So it's a wonderful thing. There's nothing that God can't do. Something to always be mindful of, tells us in verse 15. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. So obviously she couldn't believe what he was telling her, but as we'll see here, it was going to come to pass, just as he had said. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Praise the Lord. God blessed her with a child. You know, these days, a lot of people, they don't want children. They consider them a burden. But back then, everyone wanted to have children, women especially, and it was a very sad thing for them if they couldn't conceive. But the Lord had mercy on her, and he blessed her with a child. He tells us in verse 18, And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. So obviously something was wrong here. The boy, he obviously had a pain in his head, and he was very alarmed about it. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Of course, is a very sad story. But we'll see that God had a plan even for that. And that child was not going to stay dead. Verse 21, And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. She called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Now obviously, she hadn't told her husband that the child had died. So he didn't understand why she wanted to go see Elisha. But she had a lot of faith, obviously, as well, because she said, It shall be well. And I think she truly believed that. Verse 24, Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. It was at that moment that Elisha realized something was drastically wrong here. This woman was vexed, and the Lord had not revealed that to him. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? So she was just upset, obviously. You know, I know she didn't believe that she would have a son when Elisha first told her, and now she's obviously wondering, why did God give me a son just to take him away again? Tells us in verse 29, Then he said to Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. So he's telling his servant Gehazi, Just hurry, don't stop for anything. Go and put my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, The child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Praise the Lord. The Lord worked a miracle. He helped that woman, he helped that child, and he helped Elisha. And he called Gehazi and said, Call the Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. I'm sure she marveled. That must be quite a sight to see someone raised from the dead like that. But, you know, if we had faith strong enough to receive a miracle like that, we would experience those as well. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. There's nothing He can't do. And He gives us life. He makes us, creates us. And it's no hard thing for Him to extend our life and to even raise us from the dead. Praise the Lord. Verse 37. Then she went in and fell at His feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Praise the Lord. This is a wonderful chapter. It's just one miracle after another. It tells us in verse 38, and Elisha came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lapful, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they all went out to gather things to put in his pottage, and this man found some wild gourds, and he obviously thought they were okay to eat. So, okay, I'll grab these. We'll put them in the pottage. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. They could taste right away that something was wrong with this pottage. And obviously, those gourds, they weren't meant to be consumed by humans. It tells us in verse 41, but he said, then bring meal, and he cast it into the pot, and he said, to pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. It may seem like a small miracle, but when everyone's hungry and there's nothing to eat, when pottage is saved like that, it's a wonderful blessing, obviously. And praise the Lord, they were able to eat it, and no harm came to them. Verse 42, and there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, what shall I set this before 100 men? He said again, give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. So obviously his servant there, he didn't think there would be enough to feed 100 men, but you know, God can provide, and even if you have a little, he can extend that. Can be enough for everyone, praise the Lord. And we're going to need miracles like that in the future when things get hard, when things get rough. We will need miracles such as that. And of course, that's very reminiscent of the story of Jesus and the loaves and the fishes. And he fed a multitude with those. So obviously, nothing's too hard for the Lord. The Lord is our helper. Verse 44, so he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it fed them all, just as the Lord said it would. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. If we truly want the Lord to help us, though, we need to have the proper attitude. We need to behave as Christ would have us to behave. And for some practical advice on how to live our lives, on how we can be ready and willing to receive the blessings of God, and how we can be ready and willing to pour them out upon us, I'd like to go now to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, it tells us in verse 1, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly." You know, a lot of times you hear about celebrities and all the money they donate to charity or whatever. You know, it sounds impressive to us, and maybe they give $20 million to some cause and think, wow, that's really a lot of money. But, you know, for them it may not be. They probably have a lot more money than that, and a lot of times they do it just for fame and notoriety. But it tells us here that if you're going to help someone, you should do it in secret. Don't go around showing off. Verse 5, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It's not a very great reward either, to just be seen of men. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." It's kind of ironic because in the verses we're about to read, we'll read the Lord's Prayer. And what's ironic about that is the Catholics, they took that, and they took the Lord's Prayer, and they turned that into vain repetitions. They'll just recite it over and over, and along with their Hail Marys, thinking that they'll be heard for their much speaking. But that's not how the Lord wants us to pray. Verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." So God knows what you need before you even ask it. We pray to God because that shows humility to God, but he doesn't need us to tell him what we need. He already knows. Yet it's still a wonderful thing to pray. And verse 9 tells us, "After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So we see there, forgiveness is vital. You know, we live in a world where people offend each other all the time, and fights break out, but you just need to forgive. You don't want to dwell on those things all the time anyway. It just makes you feel bad. Praise the Lord. So forgiveness is very vital to our Christian walk, as Jesus is pointing out here. Verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." It's interesting, what do the Catholics do when Lent comes? They go and they get ashes put on their forehead so everyone knows that they're fasting. And they're actually doing the exact opposite of what Jesus told us to do here. Verse 17, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." So when you're fasting, don't go around telling everyone. That's between you and God. And Jesus told us here to actually wash your face and anoint thy head. And just so you appear not to fast. You don't need to tell anyone. Verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The treasures of this world are so fleeting anyway, and you can't take it with you when you leave this earth. I want to have treasures in heaven, and I hope you all do too. Praise the Lord. Verse 22. "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." So you can't have a little bit of each. You need to serve God with your whole heart. It's the only way. It's the only way. Verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" You know, these verses, we read them sometimes. I'm sure we've all heard these many times, but it's very hard to put into practice sometimes. I know all of us have probably worried about money at one time or another, but Jesus is telling us here, you don't need to worry about that. He tells us in verse 26, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" What he's saying there is God takes care of the birds, he'll take care of you. We always need to be mindful of that. It's something I have to keep reminding myself often. Verse 27. "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" You know, that's very true. Worrying doesn't accomplish anything. I know my dad used to say, worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. And that's very true. Verse 28, "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." You know, after my dad passed on a couple years ago, I spent a lot of time worrying. I didn't quite know what would happen here, and I didn't quite know what would happen with the ministry, but I would spend most of the night awake, and I'd just be talking to God the whole time. And I remember telling the Lord, I told him, "Lord, I don't care about making a profit. I just want to continue to serve you." And it was really amazing, because at the end of 2010, our bookkeeper, Vicki, came to me and she showed me some papers, and turns out that at the end of the year we had broken even, which, you know, I was fine with that. We don't care about making money around here. I just wanted to keep going and continue on here, and I was so happy when she showed me that. I couldn't believe it. I know a lot of people probably think that sounds strange. You know, you didn't make any money. Well, I don't care. I don't care. I just want to be able to operate and work for the Lord. That's really all I've ever done my entire life. I assisted my dad with his ministry from the time I was 13 years old. And I don't really ever want to do anything else. As far as I'm concerned, I'm here to stay, if that's the Lord's will, and I hope it is. But it tells us here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." So the lesson here, it's a vital lesson, it's an important lesson. If you seek the kingdom of God first in your life, he'll provide for all of your needs, and he will help you. He will be your helper. Praise the Lord. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He is a gracious and a mighty God. And I know he's helped us so much, and we're still here, and we're gonna keep being here for as long as the Lord will allow. And he's been with us since the very beginning of this ministry, before I was even born. And I do believe that we're here to stay. I believe he's gonna help us, and he can help all of you as well with whatever you need help with. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, what I'd like to do is go to the Psalms. Psalm 46. This is a beautiful psalm, one of my favorites. Psalm 46. Verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Sounds a lot like much of the trouble that's going to befall this earth eventually. We don't know when, but we do see the signs of the times and the tsunamis and earthquakes and all kinds of trouble. But no matter what the trouble, God is our refuge. He's our strength, and he is a very present help in trouble. He will be with us. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. And the earth will literally melt someday. We read that in the New Testament, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So that's coming. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is a very present help in trouble. And no matter what happens, he will be with us and his will be done. His will be accomplished. There's one more short portion of scripture I'd like to go to before I close today. Isaiah chapter 41. And going down to verse 10. This verse I'm about to read, it was one of my dad's favorite verses. And, every time I read it, I still hear it in his voice. I hear him quoting it. It's a beautiful verse and something we should always be mindful of. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them. Even them that contended with thee, they that war against thee, shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. The enemies of God, they're all going to experience their judgment someday. They're not going to get away with their sin forever. That's for sure. Their time is coming. We can be assured of that. In verse 13, it's really beautiful. I love this. It tells us, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful verse, and it's something we can be assured of. There are many examples in the Bible of God helping his children, his people, and he will help us. As we progress through time, things do get worse. The Bible tells us that would happen. But we can rest in the goodness and the grace of God with the assurance that he will help us through any challenge we may face. I just want to read that one more time. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I know that inspires me. I hope it inspires all of you as well. And I hope that today's message will inspire you to trust in the Lord for your help, no matter what the situation may be. Maybe if you have a debt to pay, He can help you with that. He can heal you. He can even raise the dead, whatever the problem may be. He is our great helper, and He is our almighty God. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank Thee today for the lessons Thou hast taught us from Thy holy word. We thank Thee that we know that You will help us through any struggle we may face. We thank Thee, O God, for the way You've helped Your people throughout history, the examples You've given us. Lord, I pray that we all would fully trust You and lean on Thee for Thy help, for Thy strength. For we know from the Scripture that Thou art a very present help in trouble. I ask that Thou wouldest be here today in the hearts of each of us, in the hearts of all those who are online, and in the hearts of all who may hear this message in the future. Inspire us, I pray. Be with us and help us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I guess we could go ahead and sing a chorus before we close. Let's go to number 78 in the chorus book, Keep On Walking by Faith.
Keep on walking by faith, just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me, He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed under prayer.